Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hello and welcome to the Junk Time Apple podcast, coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios and the newly commissioned Craig Coombe Studios. It is that special time of year. It is AFL draft time for 2023. Joining me is Adam Rosenbarks. How are you, Adam?
I'm good, mate. I'm good.
And joining us is the man who's brought his draft preview to us probably about five or six times over the journey, maybe even more. Last year, he didn't appear on the show for his draft preview. We had to suspend him. The Junk Time Alpha podcast put their foot down by the fact that he got a little birdie told him about some Brownlow medal voting, and he didn't tell us anything about it. We had to suspend him. Joining us now is draft expert, recruited during the Port Adelaide era when he won the flag in 2004, Craig Coombs. Welcome, Craig.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
We are good. Well, good, mate. Can I kick it off first by saying, is this the most compromised draft since GWS and the Gold Coast came into the competition?
It seems to be the most even one that everyone's talking about. Everyone's got the same idea. Everyone's got the same blokes. It's like, well, righto, fair enough, which it seems to be the case, to be honest.
It's built for Gold Coast to get a premiership team, isn't it?
Isn't everything done by the headquarters across that lawn? They just spend a lot of money and got to get some reward for it.
I think they're having a phantom draft where they're actually like five extra better players that are actually they've been kept under in the bunker for last year playing footy.
It's going to be a lot of pressure on them.
It might be a redundant question, but I have asked you the last few times we've done this, but the right team won the premiership?
Yeah, well, they were the best side all year, to be honest. So it seemed to fall their way. One versus two, probably the best team most year.
And did the wrong team and Carlton make the prelim?
It was set up this year for outside that top four, I thought. Well, yep. If you're fit and healthy and having a role, any one of those could have done it. Well, maybe not St Kilda, but any of the others sort of had the tools, and if they got on a roll and it showed with GWS, just keep that kamikaze Adam Kingsley form up and Rosie flying all the way to Brisbane.
Yeah. And at quarter time, it was really good fun.
I meant to ask you, but did you go – in a hope or thinking, no, we're a genuine chance?
No, I didn't think we're a chance. And even when we were $5 up, when we kicked the first five, I was like, we can't hang on here. We can't keep playing like this. Brisbane are just too good a team. And they proved it, you know. And they deserve to be there on grand final day.
Yeah, sadly. But I even say to my other mates, I just couldn't, there's no way I could fathom seeing Zorko win a premiership medal. Sorry, I just...
can't handle it.
There's just two blokes that really grind me and always have. He's one. And I know he gets some footy in there, but I just think he's anyway, better not do a defamation. No. But the other one is Hipwood.
Yeah, no, don't defame anyone on this podcast.
Yeah, sure. No, you just had to make do with Jordan Ngoi and Jack Ginnivan. Yeah, that'd be fine.
I can actually wear them more than I can wear Zorko and Hipwood.
You leave that Hawthorn legend alone, Jack Ginnivan.
did Hipwood run over your dog or something? How do you?
Any drafting year, I must remember, I thought he slept with three lights on, to be honest.
Yeah, gotcha.
I thought, you know, I think we've explained the sleeping with lights on theory before. One light means you're a little bit timid. Two, Three. Well,
oh, in Chambo areas.
And I just, but anyway, and yes.
So we've been talking about this draft for a while. People have been using the word super draft. It's been bandying around, I think, for a few years. In your view, is this officially a super draft? Trademark incorporated?
No, top maybe six or eight, yeah. But then after that, I think it's really even that someone will pull a name and be going, geez, we had him at 50 and then someone's taking him at 18. Or,
yeah.
I mean, that always happens. But from looking across this one, it seems to be it's going to happen an awful lot in the back end. And I think, you know, with clubs, you know, jumping out, it's a reason.
Do you think that this one, West Coast, will trade their future first from next year to be able to get Daniel Curtin?
Daniel Kerr.
Curtin. Yeah.
Curtin.
Oh, sorry. I said to Curtin. Well, I thought they'd play the game, and it looks like they're still holding firm that they're going to sort of bluff North out there, but I thought they'd do it.
But, do you think North should give up 2 and 3 for one?
No, not 2 and 3. I give up 2 and what have they got? They got 12, is it 12, 16? No, 17, 18.
Yeah, something like 12, that.
17, 8.
But you don't, you're not going to give up. You're not going to split that. You're not going to, if you're West Coast, you're going, fuck off with your 17, 18 that the AFL gave you, you fucking idiots. And that's why they correct. Talk.
Yeah,
they do. Well, they do. They do. And I think North will be saying, well, we'll ride your bluff right till draft night and then we'll offer you 2. And maybe if they can say, well, what if we ended up trading 17, 18 to Geelong for pick 10? Would 2 and 10 do it?
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
I still don't think so because I still think that means they're going to miss out on Curtin.
Yeah.
And then before we jump into your top 10 or so, but so with the Ben McKay, what they get? Compensation number 2, 3?
Three for that.
So yeah. Did you see that kind of changing? I mean, every Hawthorn fan in the world's going, oh, bloody hell, we got number 19 for Buddy. Like, do you see there's a way to kind of get around that where the system has to be overhauled in a way?
It will be completely, I reckon. Same with pick purchasing, bidding. I think they've found out there's too many flaws. Like, seriously, McKay and Buddy. Yeah, righto, rank those two careers.
I mean, I think they got it kind of more right with McKay and just completely fucked up Buddy and were angry that Sydney got Buddy.
That's actually a really good point, actually, that they actually maybe fucked up the Buddy one. They haven't fucked up the North one. Yeah,
I think it's kind of more likely you go, look, you know, McKay is a key backman. He was a first-round draft pick and he's gotten better. He's probably not worth pick 3, but
that's the
compensation. But, yeah, Buddy was nowhere near worth pick 19.
And then also that Buddy thing was probably back in the very early days of those kind of free trade exchange, pick exchanges. So, you know, rewind 2023 and you have that Buddy situation right now. Maybe it's a different story.
But again with the Buddy, it came off the back of your first pick, wasn't it? So that's kind of like what they did with North Melbourne. They just happened to be second last.
Yeah, we happened to just win the
club. That's right. That's where it was. And I think there's got to be a better
system.
There is a better system and they'll refine it. And I think they'll look at all their past errors and say, like, you know, there's going to be a few changes. I think with Dylan in charge, I think he will want to put his own imprimatur on everything rather than
a lot less polo,
just following
a lot less cattle farms in South Australia.
yes,
a lot less villas in France.
There's always going to be change, and this draft will again make that happen, I would think.
Yeah. So are you thinking West Coast are picking up Harley Reid at number 1? Is that where we're starting?
Yeah, look, I don't think it. If everything holds true and there's no late last minute and they go in, they'll call them out that quick. And look, he's pretty good. He can do most things. He can do all things well.
And so just to give a rough guide, what's his general position and how far is he better than the number 2 or 3 pick?
He's a mid, and he can play forward, but he's a pure mid. But he can in and out. He's quick, and he just reads the play really. Like he's really smart for his age. And I wouldn't say he's a long way in front of Jed Walter. I reckon Jed Walter, he's a beast. For a kid who can clunk the thing, and play as a commanding centre forward. He's going to cause a fair few headaches next year.
Is he a competitive beast?
Boom, boom, roll them out. And you'll also hear the and get ready for the when the season starts, the Brian Taylor watch on how many times the word generational is used on Harley Reid.
Yeah.
Okay.
He'll be going with that. And I'm sure that, you know, one of these guys picked up through the draft, you'll hear any time they're selected for the first game. I love the AFL columns that you know, Essendon are said to unleash so-and-so. It's always unleash. They're unleashing them. They're not giving him a game. They're unleashing them. So he is very, very good. But so is Walter. There might be a couple of clubs who might tell you, you know, if we had a free pick, we'd swing Walter. But that would only be a couple of clubs, I would think.
Yeah, okay. So Harley Reid to West Coast. Then who is the potential? You imagine Walter then, what you're saying there, will be pick two, but he'll go to Gold Coast, right?
Yeah, correct. So Kangaroos will call him out. They have to call him out.
Yeah.
Part of me wonders whether the Kangaroos might go, let's get this Gold Coast thing over and done with and call out the other guy, Easton Reid, as well. But it normally doesn't happen that way. But so I'd say they'll just call Walter out, and then it goes back to the Kangaroos.
Yep.
Who will then officially, we'll call it pick three. The kid from Tassie, I reckon I'll take, Colby McKercher. He's a jet. I mean, he's a left footer. He's classy. He's quick. He gets 30 all the time. Won the Morris Medal. I think he came runner-up in the Lark. I think he did. So, I mean, he collects silverware and it's a good ball gatherer. And another one, North. You know, they're starting to build a pretty good midfield if they throw him in there.
Well, I was going to say, are North Melbourne starting to get to the point where they've kind of, they've loaded up that midfield now and they've got to start. I mean, they need backmen. They're so bereft back there that they need to actually start looking for a key position, which is going to take them a few years to, come to fruition, really.
Well, they'll have the next pick, which I think that this is going to cause them a bit of headaches because there's two or three guys there. But I reckon they'll do what you said, Rosie, and go Curtin from WA.
Yeah.
Because he's centre half back. He can play there straight away. The other, you know, cynical side goes, well, I'd do that if I was, you know, West Coast didn't come to the party with North. I'd go, all right, we'll pick Curtin. And then in 3 years when Harley Reid, you know, a bit homesick and if West Coast still haven't pulled it together, I want to go home. North will go, fine. Here's Curtin back. We should have done this 3 years ago, but you can have him now and
We'll
swap him over. So I'd be thinking that way. So it's needs with Curtin fills. It's not just spite, picking him out and pick four for spite, but plenty of reasons. But I think they'll do it.
I'd do a lot of stuff out of spite, so I think it's a good idea.
Then if we just rewind to three, then actually, just so Colby McKerch, was that right, Coombsy?
Yeah.
Yep. Midfielder. Tassie.
So you said he's from Tassie. So then I'm thinking forward to the Tassie team coming in, 2028? Yep. So you look at that, you get maybe 5 years under a number three draft pick, and you fast forward to that, you could be the franchise player that Tassie are desperate to get in that time.
Yeah, home. Yeah, correct.
You know, we could be having, we talked about him about 5 years, like that kind of Gary Ablett, where, you know, all season, will they, won't they, kind of go back to the big club, you know?
It's going to be a difficult thing for everyone to fathom because you can't look that far ahead for a kid to go, no, you pick me and I'll be a one club player. Yeah. But then the lure of coming home and being that generational player.
Yeah. There's also the reverse lure of having left Tasmania and living in Melbourne.
Well, a lot of them love that too. So it's like, yeah, no, pick me and I'll stay. I promise. I don't want to go back here. Please. Please. So, it's how the AFL structure is and what they do leading up to the, you know, few years before it.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's a bit of a detour, but do you foresee them kind of, you know, like they did with Giants and Goldie, like giving them, you know, eight of the top 10 picks when Tassie comes in, or was that a failure? Or
they need to
two clubs and they need to kind of readjust again.
Yeah, and find it hard how, you know, what model they're going to take, because it'll be a new one.
When you were doing recruiting, Coombs, and you talked to younger players, did you find it was either city or country kids who seemed more open to moving?
Country kids, because they're used to sort of living further away, a bit more laid back, a little bit more adaptable. because, you know, a lot of them, you know, work, get up early working on a farm or whatever, or even just travelling to school to get up early, get on a bus, you know, for distance and all that. Sort of builds a bit of character doing all that stuff. And remember, who was the player? They said, oh, Robbie Gray, getting up 5 o'clock in the morning, working as a butcher's assistant. So, you know, you've got a bit of discipline and all that. And, you know, sometimes as city kids, because everything's, you know, there and it's a lot easier, they're a bit more pensive, I think. Parents definitely with the country kids were far more laid back and like, oh, you'll be right, take him away for a few years, no problem.
I'm going to presume maybe, and I might be making this up, but I figure with a lot of country kids, like, it's not uncommon for them to move away just by the fact, you know, there are opportunities and jobs in, you know, bigger cities.
Yeah, correct.
Or the logic of, you know, well, my dad moved away, my mum moved away, like, you know, that's just what you do, you know?
Yep, correct. And it's inbuilt with them as kids. And once they're, you know, probably 12 and showing a bit of promise in footy, those sort of things are brought up these days. And the city kids' parents, and a lot of them, because they've had them all the time, they're not sure how they're going to cope. And it is difficult for them when they go away to, you know, missing a whole group of friends. If you had a heap of friends and, you know, they're gone, you've got to create new ones, and it's all work-based stuff. And,
yeah.
You know, you need other outlets as long as you get the good friends.
And I guess the country kids, you know, they've done a lot of shit on the farm and they're like, I need to leave that in my past and get the fuck away.
Yeah, get into the footy and leave that.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
So you've got
Curtin. Pick five?
Yeah, let's have pick five. Yeah,
I reckon they'll do. That'll cause headaches, pick four for North to go, what direction do we take?
Yeah.
Really will. And it can be, to be honest, I reckon it's one of three players, but I was going to film, they might do it. And then Hawthorn will call out Zane Dersma very quickly.
Yeah, so there's been a lot of talk about him. What can you tell us about Dersma?
He's always been the class of the family, so to speak. He's got the biggest leap. He's a real good goal kicker too. He's a finisher.
So half-forward flank?
Forward line somewhere.
Yeah,
he'll go anywhere he has to, because his leap is good. He's quick. He's a goal kicker too, this kid.
How tall?
And from anywhere. So he's really confident. 189.
Okay.
189.
So, and does he have a ridiculous goal celebration like his brother?
No, I haven't seen that.
Okay.
Though I know they were hoping to get the Essendon, but there's no way he's going to get through to pick wherever they are, 10 or pick 11, they'll be picking first. There's no way Dersma gets through there. So, he'll be on the right, on the good side there.
Looking forward to that. So he can hang out with Mitch Lewis. We've got Jack back, and maybe he can get a crumb off Jack, and then when they crash into a pack or something like that, we lost Brockman. Ginnivan's around. Actually, I'm warming to this forward line now. Actually, I'm warming.
It's going to be all right. What are we now? Pick six.
Yeah.
Six.
This was also the one that he's being called the wizard, Nick Watson, a little pure small forward.
Okay.
Over his season throughout the, you know, all the teams that he played with, he kicked 70 goals.
Yeesh.
It's not bad.
No.
And he dead set has tricks as a little bloke. You know, if Dersma was gone, I reckon the Hawks would look at him.
They sound a bit like for like, don't they?
Pair him up the difference is, you know, Dersma's a 180, 189, 80. He can go through the midfield. Watson's 170 and 68.
Oh, okay.
can only play. The only like for like is they can play in the forward line.
This is my kick a goal. Yeah. So what team is it? Six?
Team pick six is Western Bulldogs.
Okay,
and I reckon they take him because that'll pair up with
Cody Waitman.
Thank you very much. That'll be a dangerous little combination.
That's not bad. A pick six coming in with a brand new coach at the Doggies, like, it's going to be the start of a new
era. I think you'll find Watson's got one of those cable things to his leg that it sort of doesn't extend him out past the chalk. He doesn't go outside the 50.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm getting too close. Stop. You know, he just stays at home and kicks goals. And it'd be dangerous with him and Waitman at the feet of of the big boys at the Bulldogs. But again, you know, if Desmond does get called out, I think the Hawks will snaffle him up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great.
Pick seven.
Who's that pick for?
This is, I think Melbourne will. I think Melbourne have got pick seven. I reckon they'll call out Reed, the Gold Coast ruckman, because I mean, if they were silly enough to let him go, which they know he's not, they'd be pretty handy replacement for Maxi Gorn. But he's the best ruck. He's very quick and his endurance. I think he tested really well. I came third in something, might be the 2K, but he's great endurance. So they got a good. I mean, he's going to be a good player as well. So a good backup, Witt's teaching him for a year or two. But is there going to have a couple of big boys at the Gold Coast?
So that means if Melbourne call him out, then the Gold Coast will take him. So that'll be their next pick?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
So then Reed goes at seven. Then Melbourne's pick will then become pick eight. And I reckon they're looking for probably the most pure midfielder they can find. And that's Riley Sanders. And he's almost got the perfect physique, 186 and 85. That 100, you know, that we've always talked about, 100 down on your height is perfect. 186 and 85 already. Just gets the footies, contested, clearance winner. Exactly what Melbourne like. And maybe a backup just in case, you know.
Clayton doesn't make it.
Well, I mean, Craig raised eyebrows. You didn't have to name a name, Adam.
No, but I was going to suggest that Riley Sanders should go and live with Clayton Oliver so he learns how the lifestyle of a footballer, a professional footballer.
But I also did that funny by the fact that, Clayton, you got to get your life in order. Go and live with Maxi Gorn. Oh, by the way, Maxi's expecting a baby in about 2 weeks. So you're going to be living with the baby.
Yeah.
But actually, can I backtrack very quickly when you talk about Reed at number seven? So I find, if memory serves me correctly over this journey, you don't get a great deal of ruckman going away in the top 10. So does that make Reed special?
Well, I heard I can't remember who called him a unicorn.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. Pretty much because of that. Have you seen any of his work?
No, we can have a look, though. I was typing
unicorn. It's worth watching. Yeah, type in unicorn Reed and he'll come up. It's worth watching, it really is. And if you really do enjoy going and watch highlights, some of these kids before the draft, if you get a chance or after it, Walter is also worth having a look, you know, for some of the things he does, especially in the air.
Well,
he's really got a good couple. There's no excuses, Gold Coast.
That is the thing for the junk timers out there, actually. If you do want to go through this top 10 and go and check out the highlights of these people, like, they actually are quite spectacular. I mean, I remember Craig a few years ago put me onto Cozzy Pickett, and it was just like, it's fucking magical. Yeah. And so, yeah, they do.
Your call.
Great highlight reels.
You called him well, mate. You called him well, Cozzy. You thought he was going to be a player, didn't you?
Yeah, I think
so I anyway,
onto him.
Yeah. Yeah, you did. And right, so Riley Sanders, I think, is a dead set replacement. I didn't mean replacement for Clayton Oliver. Insurance policy for Clayton Oliver.
Pick nine. Let's go. Pick nine. Who are we up to?
Pick nine. We're rolling over. Okay. This is one of my favourite players in the draft. And GWS, if we ever mention GWS, we've got to shout out Alex Williams, don't we? The great Alex Williams, the ambassador for GWS, who actually does some great media work on the One Eye Giant.
Yep.
But he's one of the really good, he does a good work. So Alex, he's also my GWS aficionado. He gives me all the good mail. He knows hard. And he's keen on Nate Caddy. He's keen on Nate Caddy. So I'm going to go with Alex Williams and call out Nate Caddy. Because at 193 and 88, he's primarily a key forward. He's a very good mover. He is a very good mark in the air or on lead. Take him in midfield for that short burst. He finds a footing in charges out of it. Because he's really good below his knees, he's able to win clearances. And I reckon he'll be a steal. You put this kid with Caddy, and have them with Toby teaching them for a little bit there, and that's a dangerous forward line. And we haven't even mentioned, you know, Hogan or Riccardi. Caddy, I reckon, will be a really good fit for them. There is talk about James Leake being possible because he's a rebound sort of defender, but I think GWS is set up pretty good there. So I'll go with Alex Williams. I'll trust him. And go with Nate Caddy. If I could get the Tigers back into the first round, he'd be the perfect pick for Richmond.
And then that is a good example as well of a team that made the prelim, missed out by a grand final by a point. Now they've got a number 9 pick, which I imagine was a future first round that they traded last year. So that kind of shows the value of a future first round where you kind of go, okay, we might have to give up a bit this year, but we get it returned next year.
Well, that would have come from the Taranto and Hopper deal, right?
Yep, correct. Yeah, so it's Richmond. And this is the thing that Richmond would have done looking at this draft going, you know what, at pick, wherever we expect to be, just say, you know, we had a good year and we're supposed to be picked, you know, 14 to 18. Is this kid at 14 to 18 going to be as good as Hopper and make an impact? Absolutely no.
Yeah.
So that's where Richmond go, absolutely no. Yep, we are very sure that this is the case. Now,
yeah, okay.
Obviously didn't figure out and consider all the things with Hardwick and everything else that happened and whatnot. You know, maybe if they could have their time again, would they have taken Hopper? I think they still would have because I reckon he's going to be good money for the Tigers because he's still young and I think they'll bounce back pretty quick, to be honest. If good old Justin Kaczynski, what's his name? Kaczynski comes good. If they can find that third forward. But anyway, so, yep, that's number 9, Nate Caddy, and I really like him.
Pick 10, who's that?
Pick 10. This is Geelong, and there is talk of them maybe trading out of it if whoever they've got on their mind might happen. That's going to be a pain, but late-minute deals. But I'll go at pick 10. I'm going to take the big kid, Connor O'Sullivan.
Mm-hmm.
He come with a bit of a shoot late. He's versatile. He's an interceptor. And you're talking before, Rosie, about Kangas needing the defender. I reckon Geelong do because of letting go of Radicalia and, you know, Stewart. It's just his body's just chucked on the line. So I reckon they need him. He's one that can play straight away. Good reader of the ball. He's big lad, 198 and 92, but he moves really well. And there might be a couple of teams trying to get 10 to get him. Might be a few others, Essendon, Crows, any of them sitting around there might say, try to do a trade with Geelong. Pick 10 on the night. But I reckon they'd be a bit mad to move back too far unless they just go, well, 10 for 17 and 18 and they got their eyes on someone else.
Yeah.
Which I'm hearing Sydney, if Sydney got someone in mind, if he's gone, they're willing to trade their pick out. So but I think they're the 10 that are most likely in the top 10 with James Leake just sitting just outside. He's the one that could jump in. You know, somewhere maybe in Essendon, maybe Geelong if someone does a trade, maybe Adelaide. So that's the 11. 10 or 11, I think we're looking at. And I think it's pretty much, I can't see anyone from outside jumping up.
You can't see like a Smokey coming from 20 getting into top 10 or anything like that.
Well, I look back through, but I had about 25 names at the start of the year that made me a bit interested and keep an eye on everything. The only thing I'll say is I didn't get so many live games. All my work has been done off YouTube Vision and off reading a lot of stuff, a good bit of time on the air. Fills in with my help with my magic, my card magic stuff, which I'm sure you're both familiar with and enamored with. And I can will you. That's what I can will to you, you know, the secrets of my card magic.
Sure, just looking through your teams, like with your top 11 here, I feel like it's a bit of a different year by the fact you seem to have mentioned a lot more forwards, small forwards, by that matter.
And there's way more forwards. It doesn't happen. Yeah, you're right.
It's not a midfield. It's not a Brownlow medal. Like it's not just, you know, 8 midfielders and a couple of forwards chucked in or backman chucked in. Like it's a good mix of positions around the ground.
Your chamber. That is absolutely spot on. If you go back and look at other drafts, you'll be looking 70% mids. You look at this and we're called out key defenders, ruckman, rebounding defenders, pure midfielders, inside, outside midfield.
And a guy who's 180 centimetres.
A 170 pure mid, a pure little forward. Then we've got a half forward. Then we've got a centre half back. It really is.
Mm.
Absolutely. Which is actually a good thing.
And I think it's quite interesting too that you say the 170 centimetre tall Nick Watson, that clubs have come to accept that that's okay. That's his role in the team, and we don't think he's too small to play the game. It's like, yeah, he's really good at that. Why are we trying to make him a midfielder?
And it was crazy because back when I was actively, when I was employed, a lot of times, you're right, you see the 170, you gloss over it straight away.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a Caleb Daniel sort of, you know, oh, he's so small. Yeah, but he was captain of South Australia and he found a footy. I think it was too long. They got stuck in the heads of recruiting guys.
Yep.
Whether it came from the top, I don't know. But I think you'll find over the last few years, if they can fill the role in the team that we need them for, we don't care what size they are.
Yeah,
yeah, sure. So there's a time they kind of just, we're looking for a big brute, you know, but now we're kind of like, well, if they're 5'6" and they can do their job, then why not? Yeah.
And because other guys like Cozzy and that, and, you know, Shai Bolton, who was also picked 29, who's is going to be an absolute superstar, you know, looked at those guys and go, he's a bit small, a bit light on, you know, pick 29, Shai Bolton. Deal.
Yeah.
Probably would have been taken earlier.
We generally love talking to you, and you're the best person in the world for this job. And actually, we're gonna create the next franchise after Tasmania. We're gonna have the Junktown franchise. You guys definitely can lead our recruiting. But just before we wrap up, can you give us a little something for Rosie and myself about Carlton and Hawthorn? Like, how do you see next year maybe playing it? And should I get my repeat T-shirt printed up already?
All right. As we also always do, we always pick out a couple of things throughout the draft. Note, one thing I want you to note is that kid called Harry DiMattia. You might have read about him. He may go in the top 20.
Okay.
Last year, he was the kid who ran out bat at the Boxing Day test.
Yes.
Ran out bats to Labour Chain and the drink boy. And got sledged by the South African. So he switched from footy from cricket to footy, obviously. So he's the one to watch. Be interesting to see where he goes. And always try to find a name. Remember, over the years, we've come up with some beauties with Biggie Nguyen. I love Biggie. Now he's sadly off to the graveyard out of North Melbourne. No, I shouldn't say that. They'll get better. But I like the kid who's also a top 20 pick, can play. And he's got a bit of a mullet flowing. His name is Colton Tholstrup.
Love it.
Every time I say it, I sort of get that Thurston Howell III vibe about him. You know?
He sounds like a billionaire or an action star.
go and look him up. You'll love him.
Yeah,
he'll be
great.
A cult figure, whatever club he goes to. The kid, good on it. Got a lot of strut, you know. Now, Hawthorn and Carlton.
Let's go Hawthorn first. It's going to be more fun.
Rosie, you're not going to like it because they're going to fly up the ladder again, the Mighty Hawks.
Hey!
Like next year, you fucking lost your mind.
Well, they're not going to make the eight. But
yes!
I'm
back.
You say I lost my mind. I'm on the medicinal cannabis now, boys. I started about six weeks ago. So
mate, you and Dimmer, fucking off your chops.
If you want me to will something to you, well, yes. But anyway,
folks, we deal medicinal meth out of Junk Time, out of Wayne Jackson Studios, if you need any of that.
I think the Hawks will improve. I think by getting in, you know, some big part players, so to speak, they will play their role. Maybe Ochoa, D'Ambrosio from Essendon, they're going to help.
Yeah.
And that young group coming through, you know, that Weedle down back, great pick, great selection. He's going to work. And you know, GF, he's a run. They probably need an anchor somewhere in their back line to go, hold on, because they just grab it and go. They're going to be exciting to watch.
Yeah.
They really will be. I reckon he'll flick the switch. Carlton, well, they went on that run. The only thing is, stop smiling, Rosie. Stop smiling. The only thing is, they're going to be under a lot of pressure now with all those Friday night games.
Yeah, I know.
And for us non-Carlton fans, if they start losing again, that'll be fun to watch those games. But if they're winning, it's like, you know, I had to go to bed. I was too crook. Couldn't be bothered. Made me sick watching them. You know, you would think they've kept a lot of faith in their list and they've farmed off to a couple of the regular, you know, guys that came in and done jobs, Fisher and Paddy Dow. So they better hope there's no injuries because I don't think their depth, you know, they got rid of a bit of their depth. Maybe they got a couple of kids. That Bins, is it Jackson?
Yeah, Jackson Bins. Yeah, apparently he's really good and hasn't come into the side yet. So there's a little bit of hope there.
Yeah. So, yeah, for him, I think he was knocking on the door like so many times. So, look, you would think Carlton are going to be thereabouts again. But to be honest, I would have Port Adelaide as being very dangerous because they've finally got a ruckman. I don't rate Lysette.
Yeah, okay.
And I think they're going with Jordan Sweet and Soldo. Imagine him hitting them down to, you know, Rosie and...
Yeah.
So what... Craig, from you, is that Hawthorn's going to win the next five premierships. Thank you, Craig. You said it. You said it yourself. Hey, we want to say thank you so much to Craig Coombs and also everybody.
Thanks for having me back.
With the top 10, we're going to put on our socials and you can follow along and see how many of the 10 we
get got Craig. Right. Yes. Thanks for your time, Coombsy.
Have you back here, Coombsy. We love you so much and all the Junk Timers love you.
We are a team.
A team Junk Timers.
All the best, lads, ladies, girls, boys, all of you. See ya.
Go Blues.
Thanks, mate. Go Hawks.
Thanks, boys. I appreciate that.
On you, Coombsy.
See you soon.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.